You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Hey.
Let's go. Okay.
First time we're talking MLS in the new studio.
That's right.
And by the new studio, I mean this white box we're in.
Okay. We're still figuring out. We're still removing the blood from.
can't see it. That's just past the camera.
The previous tenants. Really,
why would you have a butcher shop up here? Stop asking questions. Hey, what's this figurine that's had a choke on the floor?
Oh, you're interested in art too? Cool.
That's cool. Look at this weird. What a weird hopscotch.
I just like to find other like-minded individuals.
Come on, this is exciting. We finally got a studio. It's obviously thanks to you guys. Thank you so much to all the members of Patreon. We wouldn't be here without you.
That's right.
If you're listening to this and you're wondering, yo, what is it that they're talking about? Bruh, we talking about Gully Squad, baby.
Let's go.
Patreon.com/SoccerCooligans. Other people we got to thank. The whole Metal Arc Lebatard fans.
Yeah, that's they made this happen as well. They might be new to this pirate ship, but
arr, matey.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Hey, we love you, Miami Cuban Pirates.
Hey, and everybody else listening. It's not just them.
But no, man, we're excited about, we mentioned this yesterday on the other pod. Shout out to Luke Aaron Moore. If you haven't,
he did his thing, huh?
That's right. Okay. He was the first guest, got to bless the studio.
One of my favorite things, I don't know if you guys probably didn't hear this because it was before we turned the microphones on, but, he was like, so where's the prep? And we were like, ha. Ew, bro.
Isn't that AIDS medication? Yeah. Why are you asking about that?
Bro, are you talking about homework, bro? We ain't doing homework.
No, man.
We doing dome work, my G.
Bam. So
we going off the top of the zone, dude.
Shout out to Luke Aaron Moore, Football Ramble. Go check that episode out if you have not. But yes, this is the Cooligans.
That's right.
There it is. Poppy always welcoming us. We got to love
it. One of my
it.
Favorite things is a long, long time ago, I said, you know what? We should get a soundboard. And Christian's like, I don't want to just have a bunch of sounds going crazy. But now you get so excited that you do it. You pause and you go, there it is.
There it is. Okay.
You don't have to do it. They hear the sound.
Nah, man. You got to just reiterate that they just heard a sound. Okay, blowing up your ears. Apologies,
but let's go.
We're doing the show.
I hope I could lower that in post.
We're doing the show today. We're not live. This is a non-live episode of the Cooligans. This is strictly for the audio fam.
It's strictly for my plays in them Jeeps, Lex Coupes, the Beamers, and the Benz, bro.
Wow, Lex is aging himself viciously.
No, that
right
song
now.
Just came out 3 years ago. It's a underground hit. Y'all haven't heard.
Really,
what is Freaky Ty doing these days, bro? What tire shop he working in?
But for everyone watching, if you might be watching this on YouTube, look, we're filling the space out. You've seen a bunch of foam pads on the ground.
Do me a favor,
right,
just
now
shift over a little bit that way. Okay. Just shift your body. No, you don't have to move the chair. Okay, see, there's a carpet and a ball. Okay, look, you see it? Hold on. There's the ball, and just beyond it is a carpet. There's things in here.
There's a couple things in here.
You can see just a little bit of a carpet right here. There's three carpets, three rugs.
We'll get the wide camera set up in the future so
we'll
you can
figure
kinda
it
see
out.
The setup, but literally,
there's all types of stuff in here. We got like a shelf over there. We are filling it in little by little.
Exactly.
Okay? I don't even know. Wait, if I move, you can see all the foam.
You can see all the foam on the ground.
The reason you hear an echo is because that foam came late. You have to let it, apparently you got to let it breathe for 24 hours.
Okay.
Bougie-ass foam that we bought.
A couple of people in Gully Squad already asked if they want the address so they can ship some items that we can decorate.
Should we give them the address? what I would suggest, if you really want to come here, maybe we'll make a way for you to do that. You're going to be you're going to have to get the crackhead to move out the foyer. That is one of the ways. When we said Gully Squad, we meant it, bro.
Bro, okay.
I came here last night, and I had to wake up two crackheads, and you're probably saying, like, Alexis, don't be disrespectful. They had crack pipes.
Yes, the only...
I'm not making this up.
The only studio space available was in the South Bronx in the 80s. Okay?
Yo, whatever your stereotype... You know, like, when you watch... when your parents are watching the news, and there's like, New York is a hellscape. And I'm like, shut the... They must have been talking about the block we're on. Yo, we in the ends, bro. No,
and we're pretty close to Times Square. I don't know
That's
what's going on.
No, we're close to Port Authority.
Bro, we're in Rudy Giuliani's Times Square. Right?
Yo, this was the Times Square he cleaned up before he flipped his brain. Actually, he did that before that. But yo, this is, you know, when people are like, New York is regressing back to the 90s, I'm always like, man, get out of my face. Maybe that's because I live in a nice neighborhood, bro.
Yo.
It might be happening,
you
dude.
In a gentrified area, dog.
Yo, I might be part of the problem, dude.
So, no, man, we're excited. It's a dope spot. We're happy to be here.
It's cool as hell. And yeah, look, yeah. I kind of like it more because there's crackheads.
It's like, it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be a Cooligan studio without
What if there was someone out there trading stocks? I'd be like, aw.
Nah, bro, my rent's going up.
Yo, put your Sperry topsiders on and get away from my foyer.
But no, man, this is gonna be the our future home for a while. So it's gonna a lot of really really cool stuff is coming through. And as always, Patreon will be have first access to all that stuff. And you know what? We will let the people in Gully Squad know. You know, they can send us some stuff. Maybe somebody offered a fern. A fern.
I thought you were going to say itcher, and we could take that.
We could use the itcher as
we
well.
We could take a fern itcher. So, don't be sending a plant. Anything that can die, do not be sending it here.
No gerbils.
All right? So, by the way, if you were thinking of sending us a crackhead, we got it. We good. We got our fill.
Well said. So we're excited about today's show. This is Shouts to U.S. Obviously, we focus on all things American soccer. Another exciting episode of the Cooligans on the way. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And we have to look.
Is that the first intro in this studio? Because we almost forgot to do it. We kind of forgot to do one on
Luke's. That's right, with Luke's show.
Oh, it felt so good.
It didn't. I farted.
Did you just
fart? I accidentally farted.
That's the first fart in the studio.
It happened, folks.
You farted, of all people.
I never fart.
You never fart. I don't think I've ever heard you fart.
That's the first one.
Wow,
you all got to. I
want to give you credit for admitting it right away.
I'm sure you didn't. I don't know if the mics caught it, but we might have to add a sound button.
It sounded like this.
Oh my god, I don't think I can continue with the show. I'm too embarrassed.
That fart said.
What button did you hit?
You don't know where I'm from, dog. I do, your butt.
There it is. Okay.
We're still trying to figure out how we could hear the sounds that you guys are hearing.
The echo of the fart was just brutal.
Can I tell you something? Can we hit pause so we can air this place out? What up? You did this after we shut off the air conditioner.
It doesn't smell.
Buddy, you don't smell it. That's like you forget you're wearing cologne after you put it on. I'm tasting it.
You're not.
Hey, can I tell you something? You need to stop eating so much vegetables, bro.
It's an absolute
Can matter. I put hot sauce on your fart next time in case because I have to taste it
anyway. We have to start with
what a ridiculous start already.
Atlanta United,
bro,
because this is
I'm gonna flip this fucking thing.
This is where the news goes. You want stats or recaps for games.
This place is for that. This ain't it.
Okay.
This ain't it.
We have to talk about Atlanta United because they're having a rough go. This year has not been great. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries. And then the players that are available are not really bringing
injuries
it.
Injuries to their egos.
That's right. They're not really bringing it on the pitch. A lot of losses. They're not mathematically out. But you can see that from the 2017-2018 Atlanta United, this is a very different team. It looked very, very different. But you can tell that the locker room, something's up.
It's not just that. I don't know. Maybe I've just noticed this, but have you noticed that there's a little bit less of a feverish fan reaction to Atlanta United? Have you noticed that the overwhelming Atlanta fan base that was there in 2018 really ain't hitting.
I mean, they're not getting what they initially were introduced.
But I'm saying,
with,
like, even when they weren't,
they got Atlanta got catfish. You know what I mean? The fans did.
They're like, oh, we're gonna have these amazing young South Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We're never gonna buy people for a lot of money and have them not pan out.
And no, this is not the team that they initially when they bought season tickets.
Nah.
Bro, they got bamboozled.
Bro, they got hoodwinked.
Led astray.
Oh no. They got finessed.
And I think when those first 2 years, obviously they won MLS Cup in their second year.
But the first year they didn't win, and there was just
intensity. Everybody.
Everything was making you hot, you know? Oh, look at the way she eats. It's so cute. You know, I love the way her nose flares when she yells at me. And then now it's like, could she stop yelling? And also, could you stop eating that way?
So, and this is where we are because
the honeymoon's over.
Exactly. You know, you have two, you know, they get rid of two coaches. Three?
Three. Tata left.
Tata
Frank,
left.
De Bauer fired.
De Boer. Gabriel Hunter.
Right. Fired.
And then now, and Gonzalo Pineda is now.
And he didn't get fired. But some, you know, when a relationship starts to go bad, what in our culture, what happens?
you get that latinotemperament.com. Go to latinotemperament.com, folks.
Please do, especially if you want to join our Patreon. But what happens, right? What happens when you start arguing, especially in our culture, stereotypically? What happens? Somebody throws a plate of food. Well, let me tell you something. The stereotype that showed up to Atlanta.
Because there was an article in The Athletic.
Which has been confirmed.
Right. And that Joseph Martinez was upset after, I forgot which match.
This was in Portland.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So after the match in Portland, they're in the away locker room. I guess there's some catered food in the locker room. And Joseph Martinez
was
so upset.
Furious at the catered food.
He started on the bench. He started on the bench, and they lost 1-0.
Passionate dude. Remember when he ripped off all the tape on his shin guards, and he just left it on the pitch years ago. Remember that? Because he got subbed early.
Yeah, dude.
I believe in that match he was on his way to a hat trick, and he ended up sticking with a brace.
And that's what...
And he let it be known.
That's right. Because
thank God his shin pads were made of arroz con pollo.
Because yes,
there'd be rice everywhere.
Because the catering table had rice and chicken, arroz con pollo.
We were able to do our own research. Okay. This is an exclusive. It might have been in the article. We didn't read the article. But I was able to confirm that it was in fact rice and chicken. But what it was not was arroz con pollo.
Ooh.
This was white rice or brown rice and some regular ass chicken.
What's the difference? What's the difference?
You've had.
Are you meaning like
white people rice and chicken?
Got it.
There's a difference between rice and chicken and arroz con pollo.
It wasn't made within abuela's hands.
There was no saffron in it. It wasn't cooked with a little bit of beer in it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no seasoning in it. There might have been raisins in the goddamn rice. What I'm trying to say is this was rice and chicken. This wasn't arroz con pollo.
And that is the
big, big difference.
And this was the quote from here in the article. I'll read just a little bit of the beginning of it. It just said, at the time, Pineda was inside a room that's reserved for coaches. But following the commotion, Pineda stepped into the players' locker room and confronted Martinez. According to several sources, Martinez and Pineda had to be physically separated, with one source adding, it went downhill from there. And then it continues on, which says, quote, Joseph Martinez just knocks it all over and there's chicken and rice all over the locker room, said a source who witnessed the incident. Which you love. We know, we're pretty sure who the source might be. It's either a player or somebody on the staff. And
Well, obviously,
it's weird to be like, I can't say who it is. But it's like, we sort of know. We can deduce who was the leak.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
How can you figure out which player or staff member it was?
The one of probably 25 to 30 people in that room?
What if you were a dictator? No, hold on.
Wouldn't you be upset?
No, hold on. If you were a leader of a country and you found out one of your 25 spies was leaking information, was a double spy, what'd you do? Just gun them all down?
No. I'm not saying, but it should be fairly easy to find out. It's interesting how this
if
even got.
If you have 25 suspects for a crime, that's a lot of suspects.
So the problem here is that the fact that this got out at all suggests that there's even more issues within the locker room. That's what I'm saying.
Can I be honest? I think you're wrong. Once there's rice and chicken all over the locker room, you've hit probably the peak of there being a problem in the locker room. You can't be like, sure, I almost fought the manager. And sure, I flipped over everyone's dinner. But the real problem is the snitch.
Right. Yes. Yeah, there's graver problems than the one I'm mentioning. But I'm just saying, it's just within the article, it's just a funny thing to see. Regardless, this is, I mean,
look, you and I are in particular probably the two most qualified in the soccer sphere, in the football world.
That's right. Extra time ain't spending time.
They ain't ready for this. they didn't spill hummus. This isn't their avenue. They didn't spill the beans before it got on the toast. Sit down, football rambling the kickoff. They didn't spill something Southern. Okay. So not your moment, Taylor Rockwell.
they Joseph flipped his table and spilled that food in particular because he was like, you know what? I'm looking out for the homies, the Cooligans.
Right.
I wanna make
and
sure.
Also, if rice and chicken is gonna get flipped.
Yeah.
And someone is almost going to get fought. I would expect that you and I are the first two that are called, or at least that we're the first two that are tagged. And that is what happened.
Right.
So you and I are qualified to talk about this. What is the next step beyond someone flipping a plate of rice? That is, you do a very funny joke. Just one. You do a very funny joke about you bringing a lady, right? A white girl to like the middle of Dominican Republic.
Very much.
And
so.
How you had to figure out how to explain to your family that this girl don't eat rice.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny joke. We understand how important rice is to our culture. Bruh, when you flip, I mean, you could fight your friend and y'all could figure it out. You could physically fight your homie.
Yeah.
And afterwards, bloody and everything, y'all put your arms around each other and be like, damn, bro, you really got me with that hook. But if you were to flip over your friend's plate of
Santa?
Food.
You ruined Santa?
El almuerzo? If you flip over.
After playing, 90 minutes, I'm pretty tired. I'm famished even,
Bro, let me tell you something. You could have fought your friend and then you guys sit down and get a chimi from the chimi truck. And if you slap that out of his hand, there's no coming back. There may not be a way to mend the situation once the plate of rice gets flipped. That is more than physical altercation. I think that is the top level of disrespect.
That's right. I'm sure Gonzalo Pineda was just like, I mean, yes.
You saw what he did.
Yes, you swung at me.
Yeah, but.
But the chicken and the arroz con pollo.
But sure, you took a swing, but let's talk about what's really disrespectful. I'm not even kidding. Is there something more disrespectful than that?
I mean.
It's probably slapping someone with money in the face.
Or spitting in someone's face. That's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Kicking the food over might be worse.
Kicking food over is worse than spitting.
Yeah, because you could spit on someone before you fight them and still be cool. Flipping someone's food over, I'm not even as a big dude, just as a Latino.
There's a difference between
flipping rice over, that's got to be.
There's a difference between flipping someone's plate over and then the whole table. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a little bit more, to me, it's more disrespectful.
To just flip a plate.
The plate.
You might be right.
So,
but that was everyone's plate.
It sort of. Right. It was like, yo, I didn't even get it. Like, Joseph, you didn't even let me get some.
Now, nobody eats. That is a wildly disrespectful. I want all of y'all to be as mad as I am. And I don't care if it's at me. I don't think there's a way back from this.
He got one game suspension.
Yeah, but this now says to the management and the ownership, it's either me or the coach.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, so what I've heard. And
I think it might be Joseph's time, dude.
And that is what would be super disappointing, because the dude has a mural in Atlanta. He wants to retire an Atlanta United player. We all know this.
He might. He might ever after this.
But it's starting to seem like, I think they mentioned this in the article as well, that Joseph is a fiery player, and he has been a bit of a problem for every coach that has been at Atlanta United. Even Tata Martino said the same thing.
He hasn't been a problem for Tata Martino.
No, but I mean, he's been successful on the field for Tata, but in general, he is a opinionated player, and he's very passionate, and he wants to succeed. I think if Atlanta United is winning and he flips the table, it's like, all right, well, you know, we're still winning, Joseph. I don't know what you're so upset about. You know what I mean? I think it's not as big of a deal because they're surrounded by so much success. So, and I think that's what the first 2 years were. It was just so much success. And we could look past some attitude issues here and there. But this is, in the court of public opinion, Joseph is winning. Everybody's like, yo, I'm sticking with Joseph. Something must be up with Atlanta United. People are mad at Carlos Bocanegra. They don't like how the roster is set up. And that's why they feel it's leading to all these failures.
Sure. Okay, the fans are going to be with the striker that tells them how much he loves them and is a bit of a catalyst for a lot of the fan love that happens in Atlanta. But put yourself in the shoes of a front office employee. Mm-hmm. You have this player that, while beloved in the city, is kind. How old is he now? 32? 31?
I don't even think he's 30.
No, he's got to be up there.
How old is Joseph Martinez? Let's find out.
You have a player that is getting up there in age, is injured.
29.
He's 29. Okay.
He's going to be 30 next year.
I wasn't too far.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting to the point of his career where I'm not going to say he's done, but he's getting to the point of his career where now you're going to start to see diminishing returns.
And he's just coming off an ACL injury.
Injuries are starting to mount up. And he's been a point of contention for a lot of the managers as you said, every manager that's been there.
Yeah.
So it would be safe to assume he's going to be a point of contention moving forward for the next manager. And he's going to continue to be hard to please. I know you Atlanta fans have already started your angry emails. I get it. But please hear me out. Is it not safe to say that now is the time to start over? The team that won in 2018 no longer exists. Miggy gone.
Mm-hmm. Gressel gone.
Gressel gone. LGP gone.
Guzan injured.
Is it not safe to say that as a unit was a successful unit along with Tata Martino?
Yeah, and I think most people agree with that.
Not time to move on?
Well, I think some,
from the Joseph Martinez experiment.
Before Joseph got injured, I would say no. After he has been after the injury and he's had a year, he's clearly not the same player. Will he ever be? I do not know. I still think he can be productive for Atlanta United, and I still think he's one of the better. I'm not going to say one of the better strikers in the league because he's clearly not that, but
he has the opportunity to be that.
I think
he were able to stay healthy and he was placed in a system that gave him the benefit of.
It's hard to say. Like, would he have been better last year?
But okay, but if you were tasked with taking over this team tomorrow, you're not the manager, you're the director of football, the chief soccer officer, whatever.
Right, right.
Would you not say to yourself, I think we need to move on? Because the next manager you bring in, if Pineda decides he doesn't want to be a part of this shit show anymore.
Sure.
He's going to be a problem again.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, I still don't feel like Joseph Martinez is the biggest problem with Atlanta United.
I'm not asking that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but if you could get value from him on the market, which you probably could from a South American club or possibly another MLS club, would probably pay you a ton of whatever TAM, whatever it is they're using to trade today, mm-hmm. tomorrow, would it not behoove you to go out and find a young striker that is going to cause less of a headache? Knowing there's an opportunity that they may not be.
If I'm running a team and knowing what I know,
I'm about asking
Joseph Martinez. I would still give Joseph. He's shown enough to me to give him more opportunities. And I frankly don't feel I have anything truly much better behind him. So that's...
So then...
I think another year at Atlanta is fair.
I think you move on.
Okay.
I think unless you have no other prospects, I think you move on. And this is nothing to do against Joseph Martinez. He clearly loves Atlanta. It would be great for him to finish his career in Atlanta. But if there's now problems, the question becomes manager or player. I know y'all probably don't want to keep that manager, but you have to start asking yourself, is it smart to keep this player? Maybe you do in the interim until you can find a proper replacement. But maybe it's time to say, you know what? We don't have the tools to play to put the players in place around him that allow him to be the best that he possibly can be. And while his name still rings within MLS, you could probably move him to another club that needs a player of his ilk, and then you can sort of gain the benefit from that and use that to go sign yourself another player or give yourself the budget allocation to sign a big name player that you could kind of start from scratch.
I don't know. I mean, it's a fair question. I don't think it's time yet. I think he's still too important to Atlanta and to Atlanta United.
Now, if you ask the kitchen staff in Portland, what do you think they'd say?
I think, but I want to make sure I give a shout out and show this photo. This is from the homie Anibal Roldan at Latin Heat on Twitter. But this is just a great photo.
It is.
Great Photoshop work.
Nowhere in it is he shaking his ass. And I think that might be one of the benefits.
No, if you're listening to this, it's a picture of, I guess I would assume Jesus.
Jesus flipping the tables at the temple because they were selling doves.
They were selling doves.
They were selling doves at the temple.
Damn, bro. Got caught selling black market doves.
Yo, man, you can't be out here with your bootleg doves, bro. Why does this say Poochie on it, man? This ain't real. You
clapping pigeons out here?
You spray painted pigeons white?
But it is just a
photo. Did you know pigeons and doves are the same animal?
Sure, I can see that. What makes them, why do they have different names?
One's
just
the
color? Wow. Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Bruh. Since day one, this is how they've been trying to separate us, bro. That's why pigeons are for the street, yo. That's why we associate ourselves with pigeons. We ain't no doves
you
out here.
You gotta have a whole new name because you didn't want to be associated with... What's wrong with pigeons?
Wow, so one is heavenly and the other one is just a rat with wings, bro?
You know what? Jesus probably wouldn't have been upset if you were selling pigeons. Yeah. Damn, bro.
If you were selling pigeons, you would have been like, yo, I see the vision, dude. Don't nobody want to buy this, but I see what you're doing.
Get a real job.
But, yo, you getting the Joseph Martinez treatment. You out here selling doves.
But great photo. Shout out to Anibal for that. So, look, this is one of the wilder, I think, stories in MLS that's made been made public. Like we've heard like
this is why I was about to say this is why it's wild and why I'm a bit inspired about the future of MLS is because now these things are leaking.
Right.
This is what we want. MLS.
This is the groundwork, the foundation for a fun and exciting league. Okay.
Look. Okay. I'm going to speak directly. This is like what they do on Fox and Friends back in the day. They used to talk directly to Trump. Remember that?
Yeah, because we watch regularly. We regularly watch Fox and Friends. Are friends of Fox.
No, we are not. Cut that out. Jamie, do not clip that. We see all the clips where they you could see clearly like when they said something, Trump would tweet it out or some crazy shit like that, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk directly to Don Garbo. You know you're listening. You know you're listening, buddy.
Donnie G.
Okay. Right? You want to hear more of the hip-hop references. I get it, Donnie G. But this is what we got to tell you. We want to hear more about tables being flipped.
Right.
Okay? This is the sauce we've been talking about that MLS is missing. Remember when LA Galaxy did the shooting star meme and you were like, we need to shut this down immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw the reaction and we're like, we need to inspire more of this immediately. This is that opportunity right here. Did you see the internet engagement? Let me use the term you want here. Did you see the engagement behind
the analytics?
This? Oh, man. Did you see how it was 4X, 5X, sometimes even 10X? For this quarter, this quarter's report's going to look good. especially to your brands and your sponsors. This is the type of stuff we want to see. You know what we want to see? I don't care if this week's table flipping brought to you by Continental Tire. We don't care. We want to hear more of this.
Okay.
More leaks. Here's what I say. Put cameras and microphones in all the locker rooms. Put them in the showers. Let's see full Don.
Okay. You look. I mean, look. Are we crossing the line into some illegal or legal activity? Who knows?
You know who we are? We're only fans. Okay. So that we do all this to say we want to see Don.
Ethics? I don't know. I've never heard the word. Nah. I've never said the word.
Why okay. would you put the letter F next to the letter X? I don't get it. We're not. No. Honestly. Besides the dumb, we want to see more of this. We want to hear way more about the arguments, the disagreements, the stuff that's not so family friendly.
Exactly. Okay.
Donnie.
All right. We're going to have to, you know, tune into an episode on Apple TV that's like blurry. And you have to smack the TV to figure out exactly what's going on.
Twist your head and be like, oh, now I see.
Oh, I see what's going on in MLS.
Damn. They're flipping that table over and over again. Here's the truth. You guys are going to have to fill a whole network on Apple TV.
Here's our pitch.
Give us the CMZ, the cool again. TMZ. I don't know what TMZ stands for, but do you know what TMZ stands for?
I don't. The media zone is my first guess.
That was a good first guess. I was thinking too much Z. We want to be the TMZ, bro.
You know what? I think this might be help a lot of
He's actually
listeners.
Googling or he's binging. What does TMZ stand for?
What does TMZ stand for?
What?
TMZ stands for 30-mile zone.
Which is a reference to the historic studio zone within a 30-mile radius in Los Angeles, California.
Excuse me. The media zone is way better.
Wow. Well, let us be the TAM zone. The TAM zone.
There we go.
Man,
we are just too good at this. We're just too good at this.
Bro, we should have never went into podcasting. We should be in marketing.
Okay. We're going to make this league huge.
Cigars.
Okay. A couple other things.
How about that? We all just learn what TMZ stands for.
I mean, this show's humorous, entertaining, informative. You are literally learning so much.
Diverse.
Learn about doves and pigeons.
It's diverse. We've been calling it arroz con pollo this entire time. We're explaining to you what happens when Latinos get angry. You don't know otherwise.
Okay.
You need
us. I'm going to start calling pigeons black doves.
Forget black doves. I'm going to call you real doves. Well, I prefer the non-Taylor Swift doves.
Or doves white pigeons.
Doves are white pigeons now, bro. They're pigeon gentrifiers.
Okay. So we'll see what happens when Joseph Martinez returns to the team. Because I think there was a tweet from somebody, or somebody scored a goal. Purata, I think, scored a goal and said something like, this was for Joseph or something like that. So, again, when you say that, the coach is like, gonna feel some type of way.
What about me?
Yeah, I'm just like, yo.
I'm the one who put you in place to score that goal.
So we'll see how Atlanta looks for the rest of the year.
Also, if I'm the Atlanta coach, I go to Joseph Martinez's house and I flip over his dinner. Yo,
wow!
Do on to others, bro. I think that's what they meant by it. I didn't read the whole Bible.
I skimmed. I did the clip notes. I got
a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
It was a very informative YouTube video on the whole thing, and I
also skimmed through.
But I got it. I'm informed on the
you
subject.
You fill it in for me. I'll give you what I know, and you can fill in the rest.
This came up today. Top 2022 top selling MLS jerseys, and we see number one, Gareth Bale.
Makes sense.
It kind of does. Yeah,
big name.
Big name. But
big market.
This is
big ponytail.
This is a weird one. A top knot. Christian Fuchs as number two. So clearly, whenever there's an expansion team, usually the kit sales are usually pretty good. Because
the first four are all people who played in Europe.
Right, right.
And then Joseph Martinez.
And Joseph Martinez. So there. Look, I mean, for Joseph to have the injuries he's had, miss out on a season, and still have the struggles and still be number five in top selling jerseys. This is why you can't get rid of Joseph Martinez. I mean, you got to be realistic. He not only is he a good player.
I'm saying he moves within the league. Atlanta's not making money off the shirt sales. The league is.
Okay. Raul Ruiz Diaz at number six. Carol Swiderski.
Number eight is the most shocking.
Jordan Shaqiri. But look, again, the European players, you know.
I bet you if you asked 100 Chicago Fire fans, they wouldn't remember that Jordan Shaqiri plays there.
I don't know about that.
What's he done this season?
It has to be very random. Look, it's been rough for Chicago. I mean, you can't blame him exclusively.
You don't think Chicago would give you everything they had to get Joseph Martinez in there?
Yes, they would. I mean, look, I think they expected a lot more from him. I think they expected a lot more from the team.
He's going to be flipping over sauerkraut. Oh, my God.
Is that what they do? Where's he from?
No. It's got nothing to do with Albania. That's Chicago food.
Got it. Oh, okay. I'm like, what is he?
No, Albanian guy just eating sauerkraut on the street.
Number nine, Jordan Morris, which is not really much of a surprise
big,
as well.
Big support group. Big support out in Seattle.
And then number 10, Walker Zimmerman, which is
kind of
cool.
That is a bit of a surprise.
I think the
American designated player, but Nashville, I guess, if you are a Nashville fan,
right?
Who's the first jersey you're going to buy?
Hani Mukhtar would probably be the first name. Yeah,
but over the last few seasons.
But Walker Zimmerman is it's good to see him in particular because I think there's also the overlap of, you know, he's the number one center back for the U.S. men's national team.
Right.
I
was about to say he also plays for the men's national team.
Yeah, so I think that's where a lot of the fan and fan support is as well.
I have a question for you. Number three, Carlos Vela. Number four, Chicharito.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that it's in that order?
No, because I think the...
Let me add another piece on top of that. Internationally, I don't think the majority of fans who've heard of LA Galaxy know that LAFC is not the same thing.
Okay, I mean, it'd be difficult to figure that out in any real way.
I have to keep explaining that to Flex.
Right, but I mean, look, LAFC have been around this is their fourth year?
And Beckham played for Galaxy.
Right. Galaxy.
But are you not surprised that Vela?
When Ricky Pouge, when he, you know, you saw the comments, when he heard that LA Galaxy were interested, he was like, oh my God, the LA Galaxy are interested in me? Moi? You know? That already says that a lot of times people complain about like MLS not having history, but for the people that have been around, who have existed less time than MLS has existed, MLS is a historic league because they saw David Beckham play there. They've seen Robbie Keane. They've seen, you know, huge, huge stars come through. So
that might be one of the wildest takes you've ever said on this show.
You don't think that LA Galaxy, to younger people, is a historic, quote-unquote, historic club in MLS to someone who's 19, 20, 21 years old?
You have to say, that's like saying someone looks good for their age. You have to say they're a historic club in MLS.
It's yes, but
if you couldn't take that in MLS part, and that sentence makes sense.
I think it's relative to people who are younger.
You would stand behind your statement that LA Galaxy, to someone who's younger,
yes,
is a historic club.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Somebody who's 15 years old has seen superstars come through LA Galaxy, and the club has only been around 11 years or 12 years longer than they've been alive.
Which is a lot for someone who's 15.
But to them, it's like, yo, Zlatan. Like it's why wouldn't it be a club with history?
Not those are two wildly different things.
No, but it's relative to someone that is younger. 10 more years to someone who's 15 is like...
That's sure, but you're also talking about like someone who's 15. If only there was a 15-year-old.
We should not have 15-year-olds anywhere near here.
If only there was one separate and with their parents. Okay. But someone who's 15 and understands the magnitude of the type of player that played for LA Galaxy... probably would have more reverence for the other clubs they played for. No?
They
Because what you're saying, I don't want you to be wrong. Well, they should but what you're saying is relatively groundbreaking in the sense
they
that
they should have more reverence. Yes, and reverence, but it's always subjective.
Sure, but you still think that they would hold LA Galaxy to even a fraction of that esteem?
Well, it seemed like Ricky Pooj did. Right?
Okay, well, can we be honest? Ricky Pooh got to have something wrong with his brain, right? Or maybe this is
he didn't have to say that.
Or maybe, well, I mean, he could have been. He's also trying to win over the local fan base. But we might in a few years look back and be like, yo, Ricky Pooj he cracked the door open for everyone else to pour in that wants to play in MLS.
Right.
You might be right. But knowing what I know, it's hard to accept that. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I just haven't thought of it that way. And I'm interested in what the fans think. And that's why I kind of wish this was live right now. Because I think the chat would be filled with Jamal saying you crazy. But also a lot of people maybe agreeing with you that someone who is young may consider LA Galaxy to be a historic club.
Well, and that's the point of look, the other clubs in Europe or whatever, they just have a longer existence, right? So we're doing what.
But people say Chelsea doesn't have history.
I don't know why they would say that.
That's a very common trope about Chelsea, because it wasn't until Abramovich took over that they barely had a fan base. I mean, not to the level that it is now. There was an uptick in interest. They purchased a club that not a lot of people were talking about.
Got it.
Okay. They're not a historic club to some people. They are to me, because they've beaten Arsenal a lot and they've won a lot. They've won every trophy available.
People of our age have grown up with a pretty strong Chelsea team. The last 30 years of Chelsea have been fairly...
Or 20. The last 20. 20. Yeah. We'll give you 20. 20. I'm not going to go into when Abramovich exactly took over. But yes, the last 20. The last two decades have been filled with... I think
that's what is significant and the recency of it is what is in everyone's mind. Yes. And that's what they kind of value. So people grew up with Chelsea being a super club. And they have a lot of reverence for it. And I think eventually, over time, this is only going to happen with MLS clubs. Maybe in like 10 more years.
Maybe what's hard for me to accept is that because that club is in MLS, that someone would give it that reverence.
Yeah, and
we both love MLS, but we also are self-aware. We understand where it sits.
Because we were alive and old enough to understand when MLS came into the league, we were like...
Not me. I'm not much older than that 15-year-old. You know what I mean?
Okay, why are you here?
I'm 22. Where's my mom, dude?
So...
Better question, where the hell's my dad?
We know where my dad is. Yeah. Anyway. So...
I'm letting you make those jokes, buddy. You just let me know when that door opens for me.
I think it is... I think we're getting to the point where people are getting to the age where there is reverence for certain MLS clubs. So I see the original, eight? How many were started? Ten?
Ten. Two of them are gone.
Okay. So I think we're only going to get there over time. And there's younger and younger people interested in the league. So it's a natural thing. We started this talking about why Vela was above Chicharito, and it's a little bit surprising, but I would
assume that by virtue of just it being an LA Galaxy shirt, it would sell more than an LAFC shirt, regardless of the names attached to it. Besides someone of the ilk of Vela, of Bale,
maybe it's suggesting that there's as far as maybe amongst Mexicans in LA, there's a bigger appreciation for Carlos Vela. Or it could just mean that LAFC is on the rise as far as like who's going to be the most popular team in LA, and it might be LAFC.
Okay, then this is another question. Is this, and maybe you kind of answered that, but I want to know a yes or no, because I'm starting to think maybe yes. Has LAFC usurped LA Galaxy? I may have mispronounced that word. Usurped? Usurped?
I believe it's usurped.
So I said it right the first time. I said usurped.
Usurped. You said usurped.
You know what? Make the word a little bit easier to pronounce. Has it usurped? Has LAFC usurped LA Galaxy as the team in LA?
I would say yes, undoubtedly.
So if you were to list the most important teams in LA. LAFC goes above LA Galaxy now.
Important? That's a different question. As far as popularity,
bigger club, but you hate that term. So I'm always trying to club. Find. I'm always trying to find a creative way to ask you that.
I think LAFC is the new and hot thing. But they've also been pretty successful. But I don't know. It feels to me LA Galaxy, because fans have so much history. I've been following the team for so long. And like whenever we meet day ones, like people who have literally been like following Galaxy.
Pushing their walkers up to us.
New England Revolution. Like I was at the first game. And when we meet these people, you're like, all right, you've been through it all. And I immediately respect that. So as far as like what's the most popular team right now? Sure, I think LAFC is the most popular team. But who has like the richer history? And appreciation and the memorabilia, it's Galaxy, without a doubt. They changed the way soccer is viewed in the country. You got to have that gratitude and appreciation.
Yeah, I mean they didn't do it in a vacuum. It's not like they reached out to David Beckham. You know what I mean?
You don't think they?
No, it was MLS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So whatever. Still, it was still the.
But it's still LA Galaxy.
Right. Anyway.
You know what? I might agree with you. I may think that if we were simply taking the temperature right now without looking back, I think LAFC is a bigger club than LA Galaxy. LA Galaxy win because of their history.
They
win that argument because of their history.
They're not winning games. They never know.
No.
Because they can't.
It's almost like their history is like the anti-Panenka when you need to win.
and he missed a penalty in the next game. Just absolutely brutal. No luck with
it. But again, he'll take it on the chin. He'll walk right up to the camera and be like, I messed up, which is kind of cool to see. But I think if you're asking me which is LA's club, I think you have to say LAFC, right?
It feels like it right now. I mean, look, I'm with Gareth Bale, with Chiellini. Like, it feels like if
Cirundolo, we're not giving Cirundolo enough credit.
But it feels like if a player has an option to go to both teams, I think they'll most likely pick LAFC. Unless you're Ricky Pooj, you're like, I never heard of LAFC.
That's like, what's his name? When Robinho signed for Man City, had no idea there was another Manchester club. He was like, wait, why is his shirt blue? As he's holding it up, taking a picture.
Oh, I didn't realize you're going in a different direction with the jerseys.
I can't believe you changed the logo just because I'm here. Hey, who's Liam and Noel? They won't shut up.
Okay, let's look at the MLS standings real quick. Philadelphia Union, we've been talking about...
They're bodying even more. Are they? I'm willing to say that I don't think I've seen a team shift to another gear the same way I've seen Philadelphia do it these last few weeks. I know last week we went over their last few wins, but they're doing it again and again and again.
Yeah.
They are turning it on at a level I don't think... I mean, where... Who's it? How? Where is this coming from?
Jim Curtin, also two weeks in a row, Coach of the Week. He has this team truly bought in. We've been saying it week after week. And we a couple weeks ago, we're just talking about how LAFC is this dominant team and they can't be stopped. But it's really looking like Philadelphia Union are going to win the Supporters' Shield. When we thought LAFC had it just on lock, they LAFC actually lost their match against Dallas in somewhat embarrassing fashion because Franco Escobar, the right back for LAFC, is I don't know who he fouled, but he fouled a Dallas player, and Paul Arriola, being high IQ, check out our episode with Paul Arriola if you have not, but there's the high IQ homie. Went up and Escobar is upset, arguing with the referee.
He takes his eyes off the play.
Yeah, well, he picks up the ball
and he kind of flips it behind him,
and
thinking
he just kind of places.
That'll give me a little bit of time to yell at the ref.
Right. No.
Not knowing Paul Arriola is like right there. He basically passes it to Paul Arriola, who puts it down.
He did like a and-one. Yeah. Back pass.
He hit him with a no look.
No look. I think like Jason Williams.
I believe it was considered an assist if this was a pickup game.
My man hit him with the cross. The back.
Damn.
Damn. Boom. I'm like, yo, this guy got skills.
Hi, CP3. You might want to chill, bro.
I'm at White Chocolate coming through.
Chill.
So he drops the ball, and Pollyrola, instead of getting, he's like, I'm not interested in this riffraff.
We don't do all this talk.
All this mess. I'm not getting involved.
You know
okay?
what you guys argue? I'm going to just sit here, and I think I'm going to take a shot on the goal real quick.
No, so he passes it.
Yeah, he crosses it.
He passes it immediately to Jesus Ferreira.
Oh, who runs down the sideline. That's what it was. Yeah.
And goal, and the goalkeeper was just like, I didn't even know the game had even started.
Right.
And everybody's upset.
This is what happens to Arsenal a lot, where a foul happens and everyone looks at the ref like, we're going to argue this
now.
Right. Meanwhile, they're all, how come we didn't stop playing? Remember when I thought you guys were going to argue with us too.
Yeah, but a really, really smart play. I believe it tied the game, and then they ended up getting the game winner. But it was when we're talking about, you know, the winning a supporter shield, I mean, this is a game. Clearly, I think if that play doesn't happen, I think LAFC probably wins this game. But the fact that they lose in that fashion is somewhat concerning and definitely exciting for Philadelphia Union fans,
who are now in the lead for Supporters Shield,
right? And where it was LAFC had a game in hand, and I think they have only one game in hand right now. But I don't see. I don't see the Union dropping this lead.
So I pose this. Well, let's look at, hold on. Before we say that, let's look at their schedule and we can decide together whether we think they are going to drop points. So I hate the way MLS does their schedule, by the way. It shows up not with the next match, but like the matches that have already happened. The next one's against Atlanta. So if I were them, I would serve rice and chicken before the match and forget plates. Just put it on the floor.
You know, I forgot to mention this before, but there's something you talk about, throwing rice, you know, just especially rice, but throwing food on the floor is bad. But when you see rice on the ground, there's something about it that hurts in a different way.
No, dude, that's what I'm talking about. I think it's an act of war in some countries. You know, like there's one or two countries where it's illegal to cut bread with a knife. Bread is considered such a life-giving object.
What are you supposed to cut it with? Your teeth?
No, you rip it.
Oh, your hands.
See, this is
what Christian. Country? What Christian, country? Because I don't want to go there. Because I'm
it's somewhere in the Middle East.
I figured that. I feel like the punishment is like losing a hand.
Yeah, you lose a hand for everything. He said, that's why you can't use a knife, because none of them have hands left. He can't hold a knife. No, whatchamacallit. It's very much I believe it's a Middle Eastern country. I forget which one it is, and I apologize if you're from there, but I can't remember.
Bredistan.
you've not been to Panistan?
Okay. Yes, no, okay? You look at the country's flag, all right? Okay. Bredistan, very important there.
It's more of a baguette shape. Whatchamacallit. So Christian refuses to accept this. Coffee, beer, and bread, three very highly fermented objects, two of which come from wheat and sugar, and the other one coming from the pit of a cherry. These three items have saved the world. These are three items Christian wants no part of. Christian refuses. He will yawn all day before he'll ever take a sip of coffee. He's like, beer, more of a cider guy. And if I say I have bread, he's like, well, Alexis, you can't be having too many carbs. And then that's when I stop listening. He just yipping while I'm eating bread dipped in beer and while I'm drinking coffee. I can't hear him.
Bread has, just to let everybody know, bread has a lot of carbohydrates. And if you have too many, it then becomes sugar. Then you can gain weight. Then you gain weight in your stomach area, in your trunk. And it can also bread can lead to diabetes. Mm. So These are the risks that you take when you have a lot of bread. So, you know, as your metabolism slows down, when you get older, bread becomes a little bit more dangerous to your health. So you just be just like you have, the drink responsibly ads, you know, with all beers, you need to bread responsibly.
Well, I want you to know two things for those of you still listening. Okay. We just got this through the wire. War has been declared on us by Panistan.
Oh, no. Okay. Gather all the items.
Sorry, Gully Squad. Get your arms and get over here.
Okay.
This is what I have to deal with on a daily basis. You don't get this, but bread is wildly important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you remind me why we started talking about this?
Well, you were talking about seeing rice on the ground.
Oh, dude, it's just, it's heartbreaking.
Yes, it really hurts in a different way. I don't know why.
Could you imagine if you walked into your house as a kid and your parents weren't there, no one was there, and you saw rice on the ground? What's your first thought as a child?
I mean, yeah, you would think, you know, they got into a fist fight.
I'm alone now. This is it.
It's over.
I now run this house and I have to figure out how to afford it.
Because there's something about the rice on the ground that even if you could have just had a full meal and just like, man, I should be eating that's on the ground right now. Like
it just never happened. The more I think about it, it just never happens.
You don't see it often. Okay.
I can't imagine. My grandfather never yelled. He was like the most placid human being on the planet. I said placid, by the
not
way.
Not placid?
I did not. He had a family. Okay. He was very placido. He was
like,
very.
Bro, I'm like, how did you confirm that? I mean, damn.
Every day I would check. I'd be like, nah, he's still. Nah,
he gets his book of world records. I got somebody for
nothing
you.
Nothing gets this guy up, huh? I can't shake him. Shouts to Abuelo, bro. He was just the most calm human being. Just never. You couldn't get him to be angry. Every once in a while, he would be like, mama, para, like when she was like yelling at the kid, these are your daughters. Like he would say something like that, but that was rare. And then when we surprised him on his 80th birthday, we threw a surprise party for him, huge party. He walked in.
What took his life.
He started fist fighting us. No, he immediately started crying. He never seen him cry before.
Wow.
He was just like the most calm, nothing, he never got too high, never got too low. The moments where he did get upset, I never saw him even attempt to throw rice. My grandmother, who was a lot like me, emotionally charged at any moment, would love to start yelling. She was waiting for it. You give me a reason to yell, I'll do it. Would never throw rice. My mom, that would beat other people's children, would never throw rice.
Right.
I can't imagine what it took. Man, Joseph Martinez must have been as frustrated as he's ever been in his life.
It had to be bad to get to this point. That's
because you know what happened? He saw the table. He saw the rice. And all Latinos have that, like, you know, that season is just like arroz. And we know that's a sacred item. For him to be like, well, I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've.
If that was a table full of kale, I mean, that would have been enthroned any day of the week. But for rice,
yeah,
that's got to be it.
Okay. I mean, this is. I mean, you can't. The analysis can't get any better. I don't know. We were talking real quick about the Philadelphia Union and their desires to win the Supporters
Shield. So look, they're playing Atlanta.
Yeah.
At home in Atlanta, Philly's got to go on the road.
They are not home in Atlanta. That is away.
Atlanta's home,
and you said at home.
Atlanta is home in Atlanta.
Got it.
So Philly's got to go away to Atlanta. I think they take 3 points easily.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think they're beating Charlotte.
They stay away in Charlotte. They take 3 points. They go to Toronto. It could be a tough one for them.
Look, so it feels like they will win out.
I'm sorry. They go home. Toronto goes to Philly.
And Toronto desperately needs some wins because they.
I could see that going Toronto's way.
Possible, but given Toronto's losing games that they should win, especially that I think that loss to Montreal was heartbreaking.
Got to be, but Montreal is on another level.
Yeah. So it really feels like Philadelphia Union going to win out. And
oh, no, wait. Toronto's way out of the playoffs.
But they're not mathematically out. That's all.
Not mathematically out. Yeah. Only DC is.
Six, seven Sorry, points DC. Out. 8 points out.
Yeah, they're not going to. What's their next to? I'm trying to figure out when they go to Philly, will that be a make or break game? I'm under the impression it may be.
Every single game. They have three games remaining. Yeah,
but I mean, if they win the next two, then that becomes an important match to win.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
But let's see if they're going to win the next two.
They are?
Orlando and Miami. I could see them winning those two.
Possible. We should talk about Orlando. I wanted to mention this earlier, but Orlando won U.S. Open Cup. First trophy.
Yes, they did.
For Orlando.
Our friend Freddy Alacon hit Jersey. Hit the jersey button on his Twitter. Did you see it? He was like, suck it. You can't tell me nothing.
The new jersey button.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He hit the yawn from jersey button.
But no, we got to give a shout to Orlando City. They beat Sacramento Republic. Sacramento held on as long as they could. They lost. They ended up losing 3-0. But the first goal came in like something like almost the 80th minute. And it was, I think, a proud and brave showing for Sacramento.
And for them to reach the final being a non-top flight team, mm-hmm. I think is an important step for the USL. I think we don't talk about lower leagues enough, and those of you who are fans of us and love a lower league team, you know, it's hard to kind of assess where you are as a lower league club because there really is no promise of moving up. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, they should be doing it themselves. Within the USL system, there should be promotion and relegation. I think it would add a thing to there. It would add a level of this is something we have that no one else has.
Sure.
That I think would be really fun, and I think the fans, it may even garner more fans. You may even start to see fans of both an MLS and a lower league club at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, it's really hard to rate what USL clubs mean in the overall landscape because of the lack of promotion and relegation. But we know that there are some ardent fan bases, obviously Detroit.
Yeah. So I mean, I wouldn't say
Louisville.
I wouldn't say the question is like we don't know what it sort of means in the larger landscape, because
internationally it's not. Oh, and I understand MLS just got to this level, but how long before USL clubs are able to bring in big international names?
No, but if you compare it to fanfare and support, yeah, as a commodity, it's not the same. But I think the value in it, at least for American soccer.
Oh, no, absolutely. And for the communities they're in.
No, but the value in it for American soccer, as far as like the larger landscape, is to me development. There's a overspill of an overflow of talented players that are just not good enough for MLS
or are overlooked by MLS.
Possible, right?
Which is not everyone, but a lot.
Those players that can't that are just beneath the quality of MLS should have some place to play and still be professional.
Oh, I'm not sitting here saying it's not necessary or we don't need it. I love it. I wish there were more USL and lower league clubs, and I think every town in America should have possibly two if there's enough of an audience or enough of a population, two clubs, whether they be top flight or not. No, I think it's important. But it's hard to see where does it fit in the overall landscape. I could see an important player going to a championship club, like when Marcelo Bielsa went there,
yes.
Like as a manager, right? Because the promise is Rafa Benitez, when he's stuck around. I can see someone of importance going to one of those clubs and saying, I can rebuild my career here and move up. When Jack Harrison went to Leeds, as an example, he went there with this promise of, I want to help this club move up. Hopefully that leads to me getting a bigger transfer or right. This club becomes a place where I can continue my career because I want to be in the Premier League or potentially I want to play in Europe. Those types of things, right? It's hard to say where does you know, USL Championship or USL League One fit in that conversation.
Because it's not the same. The teams don't get promoted or relegated, but players can get promoted.
Yes,
or
players,
relegated.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So that's
so the point of me, I'm saying is it's hard to rate, like, where does this fit? But when you look at why these teams have the fan bases, those that are doing well have the fan bases they do, why the people support them the way they do, and why it's important to have them, it's because of these types of runs. And these types of runs, like what Sacramento Republic did, remind you that there's incredible football being played or incredible soccer being played just below what you're watching.
Right. And I think having that lower league club you know, obviously get as far as they did, but and the players play as well as they did, having the great kind of just the story of just winning those penalties throughout those
yeah, the comebacks, the Underella, the what's
Cinderella story?
I called them Underella. Underella was the name of a bar that I ran a show at.
Okay. Speaking of Disney, did you see Little Mermaid, the new Little Mermaid live action?
Under Mermaid, I believe you mean? No, I didn't.
Did you see? It's getting people all, you know, upset because Little Mermaid is a black woman.
Traditionalists. She could have fins instead of feet, but don't you dare give her a tan.
It is absolutely comical. I mean, unexpected, but this is part of the
you know what? It's on purpose. This is what they did it for.
You got to do to out them.
If minorities are benefiting from your anger, then bring it on.
Okay. I mean, but not too strong. All right. Mm-hmm. We don't.
You know, maybe don't take it to like Jan 6 levels, but.
I'm excited. I believe her name is Chloe Haley or Chloe Haley. I don't know. She's a singer.
I have not seen anything. I'm assuming this is going to be a musical.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, Little Mermaid wasn't a musical, but it had songs in it. You didn't watch Little Mermaid as a kid?
I've seen it. She does her hair with a fork, right?
She does her hair with a fork. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I think he runs the Little Mermaid wiki page.
Big fan.
Kid, loved Little Mermaid. I watched Little Mermaid. I can't even tell you how many times. Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast.
I saw Aladdin and Lion King a lot. Beauty and the Beast, I've never seen. I've seen pieces of it, but to me, it's like Star Wars. I know it exists. I kind of get an idea of what happened.
Great.
But I'm not going to sit there and watch the whole thing. I'm going to sit here and watch you talk to a candelabra? No, thank you. That's what my mom's here for.
So she talks to candelabras?
Yeah. She will have a full conversation with no one in the room.
Just a teapot?
Bro. And then she gave birth to a beast, which is me.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
So who wins support? Well,
I
said this on Twitter, and it created a bit of a... The hashtag dupe went trending in my mentions. I think it's stupid for... If you can win it without stretching yourself thin, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But attempting to win Supporter Shield... To me, is if it falls on your lap, it falls on your lap. But attempting to win Supporter Shield is stupid because you are stretching yourself thin and you're putting too much attention. You can't celebrate Supporter Shield and then keep that same intensity for the playoffs. I haven't seen it done. So you celebrating, like when you see a team win FA Cup and then they lose the next few matches in the Premier League.
Yeah.
That's the same thing that happens with Supporter Shield.
Yeah, Orlando won U.S. Open Cup, and then they lost their next MLS game. So, I mean, it's possible. I think you pose the question online, and I think for the most part, everyone's like, we want both, right?
But who's not going to say that as a fan? We are impartial. We're not fans of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
We are friends of Philadelphia, but we are not fans. So I can sit here and tell you, here's what you need to hear. You look fat in that shirt.
What are you looking in the mirror, bro?
It's the only shirt I have. So it is what it is. And by the way, find me a shirt I don't look fat. But I can say, nah, that's not right for you. I'm going to be your friend. I don't think you should be focusing on the Shield.
I don't know, man. I mean, the team, they don't look like they're going to falter in the first round of the playoffs or anything like that. So
Would it not be the most Philadelphia Union thing to do to have this incredible run up to the cup?
It would.
I mean, to the playoffs and then falter in the first round.
Which is when they won the cup. Is that?
They never won the cup.
When they won the Shield, they lost to... No, they beat
us.
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Oh, is that who they won against? Okay. Who did they lose? So they got past the first round.
Yes.
Right?
Because we were the second round.
Not the year. Last year, the Revolution won the Supporter Shield. And
that's right.
NYCFC
Philly was the year before that.
Philly was the year before that. But who did they lose to in the playoffs? I don't remember. But
it was us. No, it wasn't. Because that was the MLS Cup winning year. I'm not going to look that up. But yes. They lost in the playoffs. They haven't won the MLS Cup.
Right. So I'm just saying, I this team in particular, I think they've gone through enough heartbreak, meaning losing the three Open Cup finals, losing the way they did in the playoffs the last 2 years. I don't think it doesn't seem like such a huge risk to go for both. But I don't know. Not many fans in the tweet thread were saying. I want to focus on the cup because we already won the Shield. Nobody really said that. Everybody was like, we either want both or why? This is a stupid question, Alexis. Why are you asking it?
Because that's a perfect question for Alexis to ask. But I think these are people that are fans of the team, and of course they're going to want both. But you have to be level-headed and say, don't worry about that. MLS Cup is what we're really all here for.
Okay. See, look, one person responded, David Meyer said, I want the Shield Cup double to stake a claim at best MLS team ever. Not worried about burning out since the strength of the team is still defending. So and the strength of the team is still defending, and then they're also winning. I think there was a stat here. I saw that. I think they've won something like 8 or 9 matches with more than 3 goals.
Yeah, no, they're bodying teams.
Yeah, they. I mean, it's the goals are the thing that we're not really used to seeing from Philadelphia Union. They have always been a good defensive team, but
then let's ask the more important question, which is, if they win both, is there an opportunity for Jim Curtin? You think a European club is going to come knocking?
I think, I very much so. I don't think Jim Curtin is...
he ain't long for MLS. Not with these results.
I'm pretty sure by now he's already fielding offers. There's no way his agent is not getting hit up with some European clubs, at least. You know, maybe not Premier League. You know.
No, but there's got to be like an FC Twente.
Yeah, it has to be clubs in Europe.
Or, you know, like a Standard Liège level.
Sure.
Anderlecht.
Right.
One of these clubs got to be taking a chance on this guy.
Right, right. So, obviously, we wish him the best and for as long as possible with the Philadelphia Union.
You know how hard it's going to be for him to get Jones out there, though?
Bro, Jim can find a plug anywhere.
He is the plug. I'm convinced he is the plug. I'm convinced he was at that Nike party.
With Drake?
Drake roasting everyone.
Okay.
Terrible stand-up Drake was
making
doing.
Making jokes. You know what? It wasn't that bad.
Delivery was terrible.
That's the thing.
For a guy who's a rapper, who knows about timing.
Drake is a pretty funny comedian. Like, he's not a comedian.
Actor.
But he's pretty funny.
He's got a personality.
Yes. No, he's an entertainer. He's an actor. So he understands that. But as far as like delivering comedic lines, remember him on SNL? He was pretty funny.
I mean, the best I've seen him was the DeMar DeRozan sketch. Well, he was like, DeMar? What kind of name is DeMar? He's like, DeMar. DeMar, I hear it. DeMar, I hate it. You know, like I thought, was like, wow, he hit
that was exactly right. The timing was good.
But then this, I guess, is when he's live. You have to edit.
But
he has to do things 10, 15 times to say, take the best one.
Okay. I mean, no roast, Drake. All right. You know,
sorry, Drake.
He has to tell his ghostwriter.
Yeah. Yo, Quentin, write these bits for me.
So, okay. So there was something else I wanted to bring up. Did I remember what it was? Oh, there's a couple. We have to talk about what's going on with NYCFC, bro. It's getting to the point where
someone got
to
flip rice.
We need more rice flippers out here because it's NYCFC has, I believe, lost. I think like 7 in a row.
What's that? Let's look at the form guide because that is gonna be a rough.
It's weekend. Look, man. We're fans, bro, and we can't make sense of this, dog.
What I mean, it's hard to say what to attribute it to. I don't want to say it's the new man, it's the new coaching. It's really hard to shift it to a new coach. It's got to be losing your number one striker and getting a new coach.
Let me just say, the last win for NYCFC.
Look.
Bro, it was against Miami, and that was in...
Nashville's doing a little bit worse, but they won their last
That was July 23rd. That was the last win. And there's been either draws or losses ever since. There's been a couple of things. Obviously, I think the biggest reason was first it was Alexander Collins who got hurt.
That's not true. We won in Chicago.
When was that? I'm saying when was the win in Chicago?
This is saying. Oh wait, no. Sorry.
August 21st.
Yeah,
that was a win. Okay, apologies. So.
So I take back what I said about Nashville, by the way. They got 4 wins.
So it's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row winless. And
they're 1 of 9.
One draw.
1 win out of their last 9 matches.
So I think the injury to Alexander Collins was the first straw.
Right.
And I think the team could have been okay with that injury because Thiago Martins and Maxime Cheneau could have covered. But then Thiago Martins got injured, and then Alfredo Morales got injured, and I think that is the one.
Alfredo Morales is irreplaceable in that squad.
Right.
I think Justin Haque is an incredible midfielder. The problem is he's not a one-for-one like exchange with Alfredo Morales, so asking him to do that is not putting him in the best position.
Yeah, Alfredo Morales in particular is so... aggressive defensively.
He's also a leader on the pitch.
Yeah.
So that shifts a little bit.
And he's, and a great passer. He can control. He does a lot of good things.
He's akin, not the exact same player, but very akin to like an N'Golo Kanté, where it's like, yeah, there's like the one thing you do really well, but you also do a bunch of other things kind of also really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to replace that because you can replace one of those things, but then you miss the other things.
Right, right. And we saw, like, especially Alfredo Morales.
Was that good analysis or what?
We saw Alfredo Morales, like, in Dusseldorf. We saw him when he played with the U.S. Men's National Team. Mm-hmm. He got some time there. And I think this... You know, again, I haven't been watching Alfredo Morales in Bundesliga for years or anything, but there's something about his role with the team. He just fits so perfectly with NYCFC.
But he is the piece they needed. When he came in the year that we won MLS Cup last year, when he came in, he became the sort of fiery player that maybe we haven't had since Anton Tinnerholm left and maybe or was injured Matarita. Because Matarita was kind of the same thing, a bit of a lightning rod.
Yeah.
The difference is Alfredo Morales, I think, has a bit more of a consistent play to follow it, to back it up.
Yeah, and consistent is a great word for him, right? Thank you.
That's really what this is about.
Replaced him, I think, with Nicolas Acevedo, Cacha Acevedo, and I think he's done well in that role. So, like, the last game against Charlotte... or the game against Cincinnati, Maxime Cheneau got a yellow card that led up to yellow card accumulation.
They suspended for the next match.
And then Nicolas Acevedo also was on yellow card.
And then Thiago Martins got a red card. No?
And Thiago Martins got a red card. So you can understand the game against Charlotte, even though it's still... To lose 1-0 there and not be able to score, like, it's still concerning.
You literally have a third of your actual squad left.
It's literally like I'm watching the game and the announcers Ian Joy and Joe Tolleson are like Maxime and Nicolas Acevedo on yellow card accumulation warnings. All they got to do is just get through this game and not get yellow cards, and boom, exactly.
Curse to the announcer.
The two that should not get a yellow card got exactly that,
and both for probably over aggressive play each time.
Right, right.
They were
overly aggressive.
It may not have been needed.
So, but this is it still leaves NYCFC in fourth place, which says two things: how well they started the season,
how good of a cushion we had,
right, and then it shows how poorly the bottom half of the Eastern Conference is really looking like, because no one can really catch up. I think they're still 4 points or 5 points ahead. They're 4 points ahead of Orlando right now, which I don't really see them losing out on this on fourth place, because the other I think the other three teams below fourth are just kind of struggle and stumble through into the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't see Cincy or Orlando really making a push here.
Yeah,
but I do like to finish above Red Bull.
Right, you
Saint
do.
Bullingham's
yes.
Day.
Yes. Wait, I've never heard that before, but that's we should start it, I guess.
I think we just started it. We got Saint Bullingham's Day, which is kind of sucks because Henri played for them, so to turn around on them, but it's you get what you get.
So so Red Bull are ahead right now, but it's just like NYCFC has had so many opportunities to pad their lead and not be worried about getting into the playoffs, but this is... People have been saying are frustrated with the coach, and they think it's the coach's fault. But I honestly think, and yes, we are NYCFC homers and stuff, but I honestly think it's just the rash of injuries. I mean, there's no way.
You also don't have your best striker. I mean, that's going to be hard to replace.
Yeah, but look, if you lose Tati, but you have everybody else, you know, and shouts to Keaton Parks, who made his return, and that was great to see. He came back from, surgery in his leg to heal a blood clot. So, if you have a healthy Keaton Parks, healthy Alfredo Morales, Alexander Collins, Thiago Martins, I think this is a very, very strong team, even without Tati Castellanos.
It's a strong team. It's just not going to be as good.
Yeah, without a doubt, but it's not. The results here, I don't exclusively say this is the coach's fault.
I also think we're getting to the point where we have to start thinking about who the backup is for, who the replacement is for Maxi Morales.
That's fair. That's fair.
Soon enough. I mean, he's only getting old.
I mean, it feels like it's Santi. just to be that replacement, because he plays at the 10 when Maxi's not on the field. But if NYCFC win Campeones Cup this Wednesday, mm-hmm, against Atlas, does that rejuvenate the season? That revitalize this team? Do you think fans will appreciate it and care, or is it the derby against Red Bull is on Saturday? Is that if they win Campeones Cup but lose against Red Bull, what do you think? What's the temperature of the fan base?
I don't think... It sucks to say this, but you lose Campeones Cup, you lose the derby, or you lose in the playoffs, it's going to negate any of the other wins.
Okay.
So unless, other than the one that comes next. So if you lose Campeones Cup, but you win the derby, everyone's fine.
Okay.
If you lose the Campeones Cup, you lose the derby, but then... You win MLS Cup, no one's going to care about the other two.
Right.
But you can't lose all three. And if you lose in the playoffs, you're going to be like, all right, we didn't have all our players, but at least we had St. Bullingham's Day, you know?
Sure.
And at least we have a Campeones Cup. At least we have a trophy that we celebrate.
I think this Campeones Cup is going
to
be very important to NYCFC.
Best of luck. We don't have our full squad.
Yeah, it's tough. It's you know, anything is possible. And I think, you know, with... You know, we saw how NYCFC played in Champions League, and I honestly think if Maxi Morales doesn't get hurt in CCL, I think they probably win that second leg
100%
against Seattle. So, look, we're concerned, but we're trying to be as optimistic as possible.
We're concerned citizens. Get it?
Citizens. Okay. Uh-huh. All right, let's wrap up, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Shout out, as always, to the Meadowlark family. Thank you for all the love of the Levitard fans always tuning in. We appreciate it. Make sure, if you're listening to this, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We're on a new feed, so if you haven't subscribed there, please subscribe. A couple of people have reached out to us and been like, hey, I can't find the podcast anymore, any new episodes. That's where it is. It's on the new feed.
So sorry. Just search Cooligans again. You'll find us.
Yes.
I'm so sorry you have to do that. But also, hey, shouts to Gully Squad. You guys obviously were made aware of the studio before anybody else. So, you know, we love you guys. We want to give you all the exclusive content. In this studio, we are going to be doing a no-cap recap a lot more often. That's going to become a, we don't want to use the word weekly, but maybe.
Yeah.
That's going to become a way more consistent Patreon exclusive. So if that's something you're interested in hearing and you are a Patreon member, you're going to get that. If you're not and you want to become one, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/soccercooligans. Join the fray. Join it all. And look, it's the lowest level. You're going to get all of the extra content. You're at the very least going to get the audio of No Cap Recap. So,
exactly.
Go ahead and join patreon.com/soccercooligans if you're into that. If you are already a part of Gully Squad, thank you so much for joining. We do have a couple of new members that I do also want. Oh, I'm not going to be able to pull it up on mine because I just updated my phone to 16. Okay. So can you pull it up?
Sure. I will do that.
Okay. Or I could also do it on my computer that is in front of me. How about that? Now, of course, I have to log in. Here we go.
Yes, patrons. Okay. Shout out to Nicholas McCarty.
Hey, Nico McCarty.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's why you love to be called Nico
right?
McCarty.
John.
Just John. Thank you.
This now has to do with two-factor. too much authentication going in.
Those are the last two, I believe. And
I am Lucha. I don't think we...
I don't think so. That was the last one. I am La Lucha. Thank you so much.
I am La Lucha.
For joining, and thank you for the support. We appreciate it. All right.
You guys are the best.
Yes, stay tuned in Gully Squad because we got some big news coming there as well.
Oh, yeah. By the way, there's going to be a really big surprise in the middle of this week.
Right.
For us. You guys already got the studio. There's going to be another one.
So, our first shouts to us in the new studio, Chateau Cooligans. A couple of people have suggested a couple other names. There was one name, I wanted to read it out because it was pretty funny.
For this show?
No, for the the name of the studio.
Oh, because I suggested Chateau to Cooligans.
You said somebody suggested the outhouse. that was not what I expected.
Is that the one you wanted?
I thought it was something else. I could have sworn it might have not been on YouTube. Anyway,
Gully Squad.
Live from the outhouse, folks. Yeah.
That's not, it sounds like a bar in like in Michigan.
Right.
You know?
But seriously, we're excited about being in this new space. And thank you so much to everyone.
It's a huge commitment.
Right.
So. Dude, we signed so much paperwork. Yeah. We really promised all the money we had to a lot of other people. So this is huge for us. We want to continue to build. So if you are a member of Gully Squad, let other people know how much fun you're having in there. If you are already a member of Gully Squad, we really, really appreciate it. We absolutely love you guys. And we want to be giving you a lot more exclusive content. We realize we can't keep doing that in all these other spaces we were filming in and recording in. So we decided, let's go get our own. And here we are. And we want to fill this in with so much cool shit. And we want to have just a cool space. We want to be doing a lot of cool stuff during the World Cup. We want to use this as a little bit of a hub.
I mean, you know, you never know who's going to come in through that door. Okay.
That's why we shoot the show this way. It's because that right there is going to be a lot of cool people walking through that. So, yeah. Thank you for being a part of this. Okay. Thank you for being a part of this.
We appreciate y'all, man.
It would have been cool if somebody right there walked through it. I was actually like, let me wait. Maybe
we really built it out.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details. We'll be right back.